Now, let's wrap up Daniel in one simple summary, or let's try to, anyway. It's been really great over the past few days getting stuck into the book of Daniel, and it's such a fantastic book. It would be time really well spent if you were to go home this afternoon and just read through the book of Daniel. You may get slightly confused towards the end, but it's really good stuff. I think the key to understanding what the book of Daniel is all about is just in a few verses. Let me read some of them now. So, Daniel chapter 2, we know some of these stories. This is the story of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And at the end of it, we read in verse 47, the king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery." And then in chapter 3, this is where we have the story of Daniel's friends being saved from the fiery furnace. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar says, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god." And the same in chapter 4, verse 34. "Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" And then finally, chapter 6, after the story that we've just been talking about, right at the end, King Darius in verse 25. "Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, 'May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." What's at stake in the book of Daniel is the question, who is God? Where does power really lie? Because if you know much about the history of the Bible, before the time of Daniel, God's people had really gone off the rails, and God had judged his people by letting the kingdom of Babylon pretty much destroy the nation of Judah and take prisoner people back to Babylon. It was all part of God's plan, but if you were an onlooker at this situation, or for other people looking back in history at what happened to God's people, you could be forgiven for saying, "God looks pretty weak. Is he really that powerful? Is he really God? Babylon looks pretty strong right now. I mean, Babylon, with its amazing learning, with all its knowledge, with all its culture, with all its power, conquering all these other nations, surely that's where true power really lies. Surely Babylon is what we should all get on board with. We should stick with Babylon, not stick with God." That's what's at stake. And yet, through the life of Daniel and through the life of his friends, we see time and time again, as I read there, that the God of the Bible is the one true God. That is the number one message from the book of Daniel. The God of the Bible is the one true God. He is the one who rewards those who stick with him. He is the one who reveals mysteries, dreams that no one else can interpret. He is the one who judges when kings go off the line, off the track. And he is the one who rescues people who stick with him. The God of the Bible, the God of the Bible is the one true God. That's the message. And we're in an even more privileged position than the people who are reading Daniel for the first time. Because although in our world, sometimes God can look pretty weak, we can look back at not only the story of Daniel, but also the story of Jesus to see that the God of the Bible is really the one true God. We look back at the true story of how Jesus, God's eternal Son, came into this world and how he lived a life that was like nobody else. We read this true story of how Jesus came and died on the cross to forgive us for our sins and then, most crucially, came back from the dead. All this is just fantastic for us to look back on and say, yes, sometimes in our world God may look weak, but I can see the life of Jesus. I can see the life of Daniel. The God of the Bible truly is the one true God. I don't know where you think power lies in this world. Maybe we're not likely to look at politics at the moment and think that's what's powerful at the moment. That's more frustrating than powerful, isn't it? But maybe we look at the world of celebrity and think, wow, that's where the real power lies. That's where lives are changed. That's where people really pick themselves up and make something of themselves. Or maybe you look at the world of education and think, oh yeah, that's where power lies. That's where people can really pick themselves up and make a real future for themselves. Maybe the world of entertainment, where it just, for a moment, you're released from all the pressures of life, and it's so powerful entertainment. It can change your mood in an instant. But in the midst of all this, we need to remember the number one message from Daniel. The God of the Bible is the one true God. He is the one who has the power to change your life. He is the one who has power and control over the entire universe. That's the number one message from Daniel. The number two message from Daniel, and there are only two major ones which I'm going to talk about now, is that if the God of the Bible is the one true God, we need to stick to him. We need to stick to him. Throughout the life of Daniel, we see someone who, although he had so many opportunities, so many potential distractions, so many occasions where he would suffer for sticking with God, he still chose to stick with the God of the Bible. And that's what we see in the life of Jesus as well. We see in Jesus' life so many opportunities for him to go off the path when he's tempted in the wilderness by Satan. When, as we looked at last week, he's just terrified in the Garden of Gethsemane as he knows what's about to approach in his Father's plan. So many opportunities for him to go a different direction, but he chose to stick to the plan, to stick with his Father. And that's what we need to do as well. That's lovely, Samuel. We need to be like Daniel. We need to be like Jesus and stick with God. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to use these stickers for three groups of people. Some of us, I'll take one of these that's fallen off aptly, are stuck over here in Babylon. We're not worshipping the true God. We are we believe power is found in the world of entertainment, in the world of celebrity, in the world of education, in the pursuit of success. That's what we worship. If that's you, I would suggest you look at the life of Daniel and you look at the life of Jesus and you think, is that really where I want to be? Because yes, in a temporary way, here's quite a nice place to be. But will it work out long term? Eventually, according to Daniel, all the kingdoms of this world are going to crumble away. Imagine this pillar falling over nicely into the music stands there. And we'll go with it. Not a good place to be. Second type of person. This is a person who is between both worlds, or seems to be, by the way they act. So maybe on a Sunday, you might be stuck over here in God's kingdom, but then you go back to work or you go back to school and you stick over here in Babylon and you worship the gods that everyone else worships that we've mentioned so far. But then you might decide, oh, actually, I fancy sticking over here when I go to meet my Christian friends during the week. And then a bit later, you'll go and see your non-Christian friends and you'll stick over here. Constantly back and forth. And do you know what happens? Loses its stick. This isn't going to keep being able to do that forever. Eventually, it's going to lose its stick and it will drop, just like the first one. We can't be between both worlds, trying to have a foot in both camps. We need to make a definite choice. Am I going to stick with God by trusting in Jesus, or am I going to pursue the gods, the powers of this world? Lastly, those of you that praise God are firmly stuck with him. You've trusted in Jesus. You've believed that because of his death on the cross, he has taken away your sin. And you've said no to the worshipping the gods of this world. You believe in the one true God of the Bible, and so you stick with him. Actually, the wonderful thing about Daniel is that because he believes in the one true God of the Bible and is so confident in him, he sticks with him. And because he sticks with the one true God of the Bible, he is a wonderful example to all of us that read his story, to all of us that hear about his life. Same with Jesus as well. Because Jesus so clearly throughout his life stuck to his Father's will, he is a wonderful example of faith to the rest of us. Let me challenge you who are firmly stuck with the God of the Bible. Don't keep it to yourself. Let your life be a wonderful encouragement for the rest of us. For the rest of us here at Grove Hill, that we would see you really stuck holding on to your God, and that we would be inspired to do the same. And also for people around you as well, hold tight to the God of the Bible and let that shine through every single thing that you do. And that will be so inspiring for others that they would want to leave the gods of Babylon and come and worship the God of the Bible. Let's pray.